Hello, everyone, and welcome to the very first episode of Spoon, the Tick versus the Podcast, which is, as far as I know, the first and the only podcast on the interwebs dedicated specifically to the Tick. I am here with Derek, who is going to be my co-host throughout this series. And Derek, I think this is Derek's first actual podcast.
This is true. I have had the pleasure of guesting on a few Neo Zaz podcasts, but this is my first time doing one as a co-host.
Yeah, I think Derek has been on, what, the Grady's?
Yeah, I've been on the Grady's a couple of times, and Matt and Karen and I have a top five coming out soon.
Oh, cool. So this is Derek, really, he's dipped his toe in. This is him dipping the rest of his foot into the podcast waters.
Yeah, you could say I drank the Neo-Zaz Kool-Aid.
Yes. Derek is one of those, is one of the people who started out as a listener, and he was local enough to the guys up in Pennsylvania that he got to know those guys, Chris and everybody. For those who are listening, we're part of the Neo Zaz Network who have never heard any of our other shows. We're part of a network of podcasts, and we'll talk about those at the end of the show.
But that's good.
If you don't know who I am, my name is Tim. If you're a Neo Zaz listener, you'll know me from I don't know if it's our flagship show, but one of our popular shows, Star Wars in Character. And I am also co-host Pass the Popcorn with Chris, also from Star Wars in Character and other shows. First off, I always want to say that I have been talking about doing a Tick podcast forever and a day. It's probably going on 2 or 3 years now that I first brought up possibly doing a Tick podcast. So this is a labor of love for me. And when Derek heard wind of this, he wanted in.
I remember when you mentioned it on another podcast, and my first reaction was I texted Chris and I said, oh, if he's doing that, I'm downloading it right away. And Chris said, well, why don't you just do it with him?
Yeah.
And then I laughed because I figured it's Chris. He probably meant sex. So, but then I got in touch with you right away.
I needed a co-host is what I needed. I went through different people's names, and Derek came up, and I have another friend, Steve, who I'm hoping will be on our next episode to be one of our talking commentators for these things. But the main reason I wanted to do this is because the Tick, and I think this is also a reason that Derek wanted to do that. The Tick is my favorite all-time cartoon. I remember seeing the comics on the rack before the Tick cartoon, but I never bought any of them. And then one morning, I was flipping through the stations, and up popped a Tick cartoon. And I was like, oh, this is that comic book character I would see on the racks at comic adaptations in Quakertown, Pennsylvania. And I remember the episode, it was the Tick versus the common cold versus Thrakazog. And that episode I thought was one of the funniest things I'd ever seen. And that still holds up as one of the funniest cartoon, one of the funniest episodes of any comedy show that I'd ever seen. I don't know, Derek, where did you first get interested in the Tick?
I was actually the opposite of that. I actually started with the books. When I was growing up, I always liked those What If comics the comics, where they would just take people and, you know, superheroes and throw them into like really bizarre situations. Like, what if Howard the Duck was a member of the Fantastic Four? So I was always looking for those weird, interesting comics. And I remember vividly going to the comic book shop and seeing one of the Tick comics with his big blue face and Arthur on the front, and he was this pudgy little guy in all white, and I'm like, what the heck is this? So I picked it up and I read it, and I was dying laughing. And I was an avid reader. I know there's not too many, but I mean, they've put out a ton of different like Christmas specials and stuff like that over the years. But I remember seeing in a couple of the episodes, in a couple of the books, them saying, oh, a new series is coming to TV, a new series is coming to TV. And then, yeah, when it hit the TV, man, you know, that I was like 13, 14 years old when that came out. And yeah, that was like every Saturday morning I was glued to the, just to see that show.
In the Philadelphia area, and Derek is also from the Philly suburbs, I would watch it on TV 29. Mm-hmm. Was it WXTF or WXTU, something like that?
Yeah, the Fox channel.
Fox channel. And when I was a little kid, before Fox was even a thing, it was just the TV 29 Kids Club. Mm-hmm. And I signed up for that. I sent my name in, and I got a TV 29 Kids Club newsletter every month or two. And I was on that, and the main reason I did that, because I wanted to see if they would put my name up on TV. Because on your birthday, they would have your birthday, and they'd say your name on TV. And I was like, and they would have, who is it, John DiBella would say your name on TV. John DiBella, for those not in the Philadelphia area, is a radio host on WMMR. And then
very local reference.
Yes. if you're an early 90s Howard Stern fan, you'll know exactly who we're talking about. They had a huge rivalry. But I wanted John DiBella to say my name on TV. So I sent my name. This is like probably 1986, 87. And for years, I kept getting the newsletter. And then eventually it went over to the Fox thing. And they always had Tick stuff in it. So I was getting those until I was in my 20s.
Oh, geez. Finally, that was your copy of Highlights.
Yeah, it's like, oh, Goofus and Gallant.
Well, I remember they were showing the Tick right around that same time that they were showing like the X-Men cartoon that had come out, and it was just, I mean, it was, you know, I was a teenager, so, you know, sitting at home on a Saturday morning watching cartoons probably wasn't the coolest thing in the world, but I mean, it was definitely some really fun animation. Yeah.
That era, that mid-90s, like I would say 93 to 97 era of Fox animation was, I mean, a lot of people will say, oh, the 80s had great cartoons, and they did have great cartoons. But I think that era was probably the highest quality of actual Saturday morning cartoons. And it was right there at the end of the era, because now Saturday morning cartoons don't exist.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't even think they have anything on. I mean, they probably have, like, you know, for the preschoolers, and then go buy a juicer.
Yeah, and now what? And right around that time, I think NBC was switching over to all live action, and, you know, Power Rangers were
starting to come by the Bell block and stuff like that.
So yeah, this came in right at the tail end of the Saturday morning cartoons. I loved it. With the comics, I could actually remember. I remember going to the comic shop probably around 1989, 1990, and seeing the Tick on the shelf. So I was about 12, 13, 14 when I first saw the Tick, and I was real big into comics, and I was there with two acquaintances of mine, and I remember being immediately turned off to the Tick at that time, because I listened to one of them and he said, oh, the Tick is stupid. Every episode, every issue, he slips on a banana peel. And I remember thinking to myself, well, that's stupid. I don't want to read that.
He's not entirely wrong.
So, but I read, I wish I'd read them, because I got really big into Ambush Bug,
mm-hmm.
which is generally the same concept. There's even things in the Tick that I'm like, did he swipe that from Ambush Bug? So, I wish I had gotten into the Tick earlier. That way I could have said, oh yeah, I was big into the comics. But no, it was the cartoon. I had heard of the Tick, but it was the cartoon that got me into it.
Well, I recently did a purge of a whole bunch of comic books, because I wasn't a huge collector, but I definitely had a bunch that I had read years ago and just had been collecting dust. And one of the few sets that I actually kept with me is still the Tick ones.
Because now
they're hysterical.
Last night, just in preparation, I read the first four issues.
Yeah, I read the first one this afternoon when I got home from work.
So I wanted to refresh my memory, and what I gave pretty much my entire comic collection to my nephews about 12, 13 years ago. I gave them my comics, like hundreds and hundreds of comics, but they were not getting the Tick. They were not getting my Chainsaw Vigilante or my Paul the Samurai. I did give my Man-Eating Cow Omnibus to a friend of mine, so I have to get that back.
Yeah,
or purchase it on Amazon. But I'll say, besides the comics, I'm a Ben Edlund purist. I know how Dave on Star Wars in Character will say, if George Lucas didn't write it, it's not Star Wars. I'm kind of the same way with the Tick. I know that there are Tick comics that are released all the time. Chroma Tick, Tick this, Tick that. I haven't really read those. I've read some, but none of them, in my opinion, have ever matched up to the Ben Edlund stuff. And
Became formulaic after a while.
Maybe that's when the banana peel started to make their way into every issue. I don't know. So I am a Ben Edlund purist. To me, the Tick comics are the 12 issues of the original 12 issues. I heard that they put out a 13th, but he didn't write it. So to me, that 13th issue doesn't exist.
Oh, jeez.
So mine, the 12 issues, that's the Tick to me. The original Paul the Samurai and those guys, and the Tick's Circus of the Mighty encyclopedia. Mm-hmm. That's when it comes to the Tick and in comics, that's it. You're probably and also I kind of like that special Tick that came out, and I don't know whatever happened to it. I had it with the Arthur Sudium the zombie Tick cover.
Oh yeah,
I remember buying that, and they all every year there's always a free comic book day.
Yeah, for free comic book day. Yeah,
and I've got those, but I never read them. I would always like get them. I'll read these later, and then they disappear. I don't know whatever happens to them. So. Some people will probably look at me and say, wow, you're not a real fan of the Tick, but believe me, I'm a fan of the Tick. I'm just a Ben Edlund purist.
I don't think anybody after listening to this is going to question our fandom.
Yes. Born! So, I guess what we're going to do, and this, our format may change over the course of this series, but what we plan to do is every episode we plan to talk about a different episode of the animated series. The animated series has 36 episodes. So we plan on doing 36 episodes of the animated series and then move on to the live action series, which had 9 episodes.
For now,
yeah.
Because there is word on the street that Amazon picked it up.
And so hopefully we'll be able to, by the time the Amazon series comes out, maybe we'll be up to that point and we'll be able to start doing those in semi-real time, talking about those episodes. And then, you know, we'll be a little ahead of the curve for all those Tick podcasts that will follow this. And we also, for me, I've always wanted to make sort of like a love letter document to this to the series, to the animated and the live action series. So I'm hoping to talk with people who worked on the shows, either as voice cast or live action cast producers. I've been in contact with some of the people in the crew. Derek has a little Rolodex with management for several of the cast and crew from both series. So
yeah, I've had the pleasure of talking to a handful of the voice actors and a couple of the live actors too.
So hopefully we'll be able to talk with as many of them and talk about their series. So when this podcast series eventually ends, and it will end, then we can move on to my other love letter series, Superman the Animated Series. When this wraps up, this will be a nice audio document for people who are like us that are huge fans of this show. I guess for this episode, we are going to watch the first episode of the Tick animated series, The Tick versus the Idea Man. So we're going to do kind of an audio commentary for it. Actually, it will be an audio commentary.
We're not doing sign language today.
So, well, and then we'll talk a little bit about the show afterwards. So most of these episodes are on DVD. And if you do have the DVDs, I highly recommend you pop them in. But for ease, we're going to go to YouTube because every episode is on YouTube, unlike DVD. On DVD, right. The entire third season isn't on.
The other thing with the DVDs is that they are the Fox Animation cuts of them. So I think, and I could be wrong about this, but I believe the ones that are on YouTube are the full length episodes that haven't been edited down.
Yeah. When for people who don't know, sometimes they'll edit things to make time for like an extra commercial. When they do things for on syndication, like if you're watching Seinfeld now on syndication, they actually have to cut, I think, 15 to 30 seconds out of the show. So a second or two is cut out here, and maybe a transition is cut down by a half second. So they try to whittle shows down, and so. With the YouTube on, we're going to be using Superhero Television as our template. These are hopefully longer cuts of the episodes, and you get every frame of it in theory. So, if you wanted to just follow along with us, head over to YouTube, just type in The Tick, and we are going to be using the Superhero Television channel version of it. So the episode we're going to watch is called The Tick, and in parentheses it says 1990s cartoon series - number one. So if you bring that up, I'm just on the count of three. Do you have it all set to hit play?
I am ready when you are, sir.
All right, so on the count of three, it'll be 1, 2, 3 play. So we're gonna do
begin.
That
begin
1, 2, 3 play. Oh, did you already hit play?
Yes, I did. Okay, but I can go back. It's quite all right.
You're a second or two ahead of me.
I took your 1, 2, 3 begin as...
Okay. This the opening of this, I think, is interesting. I have a feeling that this was the original idea, is they wanted to open each of the shows as like kind of a therapy session for them. And I think I want to say that there are later episodes where they do go back to this.
I believe there are other episodes. It's like a talk show.
Yeah.
But you never see who they're talking to.
And I've noticed Townsend Coleman, who is the voice of the Tick, his voice is a little higher in these first episodes.
Yeah, I was going to say that. It's definitely different once you get into season two, season three. And I had to check just to make sure that it was the same guy.
I never understood the one judge who looks like the Quaker Oats guy, but with a rock body.
It's like the Fantastic Four without Sue Storm. They've got a flame guy.
Thing. You know what? I never noticed that.
And the stretch. But yeah, why is he the Quaker Oats guy?
And there's the box, which they actually made into a toy.
That's true.
I forget what they called it. It was like the Box of Terror or the Menace.
Yeah, like this Devastation Box or something. Yeah. I love that it's got speakers.
I like how they each the comic, the animated, and the live action series all have their own origin. But if you put them all together, they all kind of make sense.
Mm-hmm.
In the comic, he just escapes from a mental institution. In this one, he shows up at a convention, and in the third one, he's just at the bus station.
Yeah, he has no recollection. And I love the fact that here he's getting blown up and doesn't seem to bother him, but getting hit in the head with the mallet really caused the pain.
Yeah, and in this series, yeah, there's the theme by Doug Katsaros, who's the guy who did all the music. I like in this how his antenna are very sensitive.
Oh, yes.
But in other versions of him, his antenna are just as invincible as he is. I like the idea, and if I can get Doug Katsaros online to talk to him about it. I'd like to know what his inspiration for doing like a Buddy Rich big band.
Oh yeah.
For the Tick. I think it's genius. I find myself, if I'm walking around in my head going,
and it's so much better than like, than having a lyriced one, because it just fits the character so well.
So the Tick versus the Idea Men. The Idea Men actually show up in the, they show up in one other episode. They show up in the episode where the Tick is turned into a bird later on in season 2 or 3. This is, I find this interesting because there's on the bus, there's two gentlemen just kind of like leaning up and sleeping against each other. And I always was like, wow, that might be a little risque.
I love the fact that the entire bus is sleeping.
And he's monologuing.
Yes. Well, he's always monologuing. And that's by far one of the best parts of the series, is he definitely has some of the best outer inner monologues.
He, Ben Edlund did write this episode, which I think is great. I guess, I don't know how the series went. If they did a pilot and then it was bought, official assignment. If the pilot was bought and then they sold it that way, or if they just ordered eight episodes to start out with. Here's Arthur. Arthur did not show up in the comics until the fourth issue.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that, because I reread the first one and the second one, and I couldn't remember how far into the series.
Yeah,
I believe he appears on the cover of the fourth one.
Yeah, he doesn't really become a regular character until after that. You see, he's hinted at in the third issue. There's a couple frames where you see Arthur flying off in the distance. And they sort of, with this scene here, they sort of redo this with Christopher Lloyd in the live action series, which I think is great. There's the chameleon.
One of the many, many heroes this town has, but they still sent for the Tick.
In the animated series, they don't touch on it. They sort of hint at it. It's a little more explicit in the animated series, but they pretty much equate being a superhero as being gay. So like, and actually in the animated series, that I think a lot of people would prefer, there's the episode like Tick Interrupted, which is amazingly written by the same co-writer of this episode, where they basically where being gay to anybody who's listening who happens to be gay, there's anything wrong with it, Seinfeld would say. But they would equate like being a superhero as being more embarrassing to the family
than
if your son turned out to be gay.
Is that the one with where Dot shows up?
Yeah. And they put him in the institution with the guy from Kids in the Hall.
I love the fact that when he leaps onto the clock tower, they spent the time to make the hand on the clock move.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
It drops from 12 o'clock to 12:15.
That's detail. This is straight out of the first issue of the comic right here.
Yes, sir.
This spam. Even with the pole that just keeps wobble, 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 wobble.
Yeah, the continuing wobble.
For those that are listening, we are actually doing a podcast, but we're just infatuated with this fantastic show.
Hopefully you're
watching along with us. That way, when it's silent, it won't be so awkward. And also, the voice of Arthur, one of my childhood heroes, Mickey Dolenz from the Monkees.
Yeah, for the first season.
This hero is also from the comic, the Edward Hopper. Edward Hopper painting
The Nighthawks.
The Nighthawks, yep.
Now, in the comic, it's actually the diner's actually called Hoppers.
Hoppers.
Yeah. Nice little nod.
And in the comic, the superhero, the Superman character is in there, but is used differently. But this guy is in the comics as well.
Yes.
Like, do you suck blood?
I love the fact that they put Clark in this as a little nod, and the fact that poor Clark can never get ready.
Yeah. Occupied. He needs to change in the bathroom. But yeah, in the first two issues of the comic, it's basically the Tick trying to buddy up with what's his name? Clark Oppenheimer.
Clark Oppenheimer, who works at the newspaper. What is it?
The Weekly
World
Planet.
News.
Weekly World Planet, and his boss is Perry Beige.
Yeah. I love the fact that his cape is just hanging out casually.
Yeah. The eighth bank for you, or the right bank for you. I should bring up IMDb so I can talk about the different voice. The Idea Men. The Idea Men were voiced by a guy, but I think he passed away. I think he was a character actor that was on a bunch of sitcoms in the 70s. I do like that they just sort of. They're very upfront. Yeah, the right bank for you. You know, if you're going to wear a mask, you're not going to be able to understand anybody.
Right. They even do a sight gag with that a little bit later.
Yeah. is that with the news reporter?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody
can't understand you.
Can't do plaid.
Now, do you think the Tick put the desk on fire, or was the desk already on fire?
I would think the desk probably was burst into flames with the explosion when they blew that up there. The Idea Men also show up in the Tick Super Nintendo video game. Did you ever play that?
Oh, yeah.
That game, I last night while I was reading and just getting ready to do this, I...
Sally Vacuum. Sorry.
I was watching a playthrough of the NES game, and it was almost 4 hours long.
Oh my God.
And so I just heard I had it on. I would like go to sleep. I'd wake up. That is the most repetitious... boring game ever. There we go. Mayor Blank. I like how Mayor Blank is always like stressed out and has no idea what to do.
Yeah.
He's like the perfect mayor.
And that's just such a good little gag.
Clowns. Yeah, the game was one of the most boring games ever, but when you actually watch it, it's like the perfect mix between the animated series and the comics, because they would have like the sea urchin and those characters from the cartoon series, but they would be blended with like Oedipus and the district manager and Ninja World and all that stuff.
Oh, Ninja World. We'll have to Night do an of a Million Zillion that.
Ninjas.
One of the things that I always liked about is how much he wanted to be a superhero. And you see that when he looks up and he goes, oh, cool, a blimp. And when he's in Arthur's apartment and he's trying to like turn everything into a secret lair.
He's like, what's this?
He's like, who lives in an apartment? It's got to be a secret lair.
Hug. I think if I'm going to cosplay ever, I think I'll cosplay as Arthur.
That would be a good one to do.
Yeah, I'm doughy enough.
I've seen, who is it? American Made.
Yeah.
And I've seen somebody do Batman Well.
The Batman Well one would be a cool one.
Yeah, from the live series.
Is everyone Batman Well? Do you fondue? I fondue you. And every once in a while they do take the time to animate the antenna, which I really like. Just that little detail. Here it is. We can't understand. I forgot about Bipolar Bear.
I just don't want to get out of bed. I love Captain Lemming. And if you look at it, there's like easily seven superheroes that live in this town. And I had Fire the bullet, Boy. And he appears a few different times.
He appears throughout the series. I like the one where he's out there eating. He's out there eating dinner with his wife, and something happens, and he has to leave the picnic.
Yes.
Hug it.
And Arthur's got very animated ears as well.
Yes.
Which they never explain why he has those for being a moth.
Would those technically be moth antenna? Yeah.
I suppose.
In the comics, I don't think they reference him looking like a bunny. But here, they reference it like every other episode. Who's the bunny? Ran out of rooftops. That's a great spot there. Townsend Coleman, for other animated fans, you'll probably remember him also from, he was Michelangelo. He's done everything.
When I met him last year, I had brought, when you bought the Tick DVD, they had a little card on the inside of it with a picture of the Tick on it. And I had brought it to him to get him to sign it, but I had also brought him the hood of the Ninja Turtle van.
Oh, cool.
So he had signed that first and wrote his name and wrote Mikey, and I had all four of them sign that. And then I handed him the card and asked him to sign that, and he starts writing his name, and we're gabbing about the Tick and going on and on about the Tick. And he signs his name, and he goes, Mikey. And then he looks down and he goes, shit. And I go, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine. So then in bigger letters, he wrote, AKA The Tick. He's like, you're the only one that'll ever have this one. Don't sell it on eBay.
There's Big Shot.
I love how unstable Big Shot is, that he just starts randomly crying about his mother. Mom.
I do. We were talking over, but when they introduced Deflator Mouse and American Made, I do like how they even reference a little bit of sexual tension there, which they really go into.
Well, they bring that into the
live action series quite a bit. Yeah. Sorry, I paused to hear Mayor Blank go. How good could you swim? There's little things here that, like, this is a show that's designed for kids, but the quick jokes, like, about, you know, trying to figure out like 15% for a tip and that sort of stuff is like things that would go over like a 10-year-old's head, which that adults pick up on. And
well, I remember, you know, I mean, this used to be a Saturday morning cartoon, and after years after it had gone off the air, I remember, I think, like, either Comedy Central or Adult Swim picked it up for a little while. Yeah,
both of them, I think, aired it, and that's when it got its sort of second life. That's what happened with Family Guy, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, Family Guy was gone, and that's what brought it back. But, yeah, definitely. I mean, it's like watching Simpsons. When we started watching The Simpsons, we were little kids. And if you go back and watch those episodes now, you get kinds of jokes that you never would have gotten when you were like 10. And it's a lot of the same with this. By the way, who starts a bomb at 99 seconds?
Yeah, you're not going to get very far. Especially when you're bombing a dam.
Yeah.
I like this. Dink.
Yeah, I love the fact that he winds up.
Big Yeah, it's a very simple plan.
It's so logical.
Yeah, we thought we'd steal a lot of money and then we'd be rich.
And then we wouldn't have to work anymore.
It's like, well, can't argue with that. There we go. When I was thinking Big Shot, I initially thought that he was Jim Rage from later episodes. I got mixed up. I forgot Big Shot was in this one. When I saw him initially, I thought, oh, there's Jim Rage, but no, Jim Rage is very different.
Yeah, and I don't think Big Shot appears too many times in the series.
He might show up. There's the episode where they go to the Cosmic Club. He might show up there.
That's the one where they put all the sidekicks and the playpen in the back.
Exactly. Yeah. Based on one of the later issues of the comics where he has to fight Barry, the other Tick.
The other Tick.
So this was the first episode. Wonderful episode. Not the funniest of episodes. There are episodes of this series that when we get to them, I'm just going to be shaking my head and say, what the hell were they thinking? There are a couple out of the 36 episodes. There are a few episodes that I'm like, oh God.
Yeah, but then there are those episodes where we're going to have to put the mics far away because we're going to be laughing.
Yes. Yeah. The tick versus the cold to me is one of the pinnacles, and the one with where he's turned into the bird.
Yeah.
So fantastic. There's
the Mad Midnight Bomber.
What bombs at midnight? Yeah, baby. So there's a lot of great stuff with this. For those who have the Tick Circus of the Mighty, and if you don't own the Tick Circus of the Mighty, do you have this encyclopedia?
Yes, I have it digitally. I have a lot of them digitally these days.
I bought. Oh, let me press stop here so it doesn't play the next episode. You guys will have to wait till next week to hear the next episode. The Circus of the Mighty. I had bought the first two issues. Initially, it was a two-issue series, and then when a couple months ago, when we were getting serious, I was like, I got to buy the omnibus, the full four issues. But for those who don't have the Circus of the Mighty, definitely pick it up because this is one of those things that's, as you're reading it, you will laugh out loud. The thing that I like about the Tick is, it tells you his like secret identity and arch nemesis and arch enemy. The Tick is desperate for an arch enemy. Yes. They soon consider placing an ad in the personals.
What was his name as a secret identity?
He was Ned or Neville. Yeah. when he worked as the crossword editor. Yes. Of the Weekly World Planet. Then he gets fired at the end because he kept beating up the Jimmy Olsen character.
Yeah, poor little Jimmy Olsen just kept getting in the way.
It does say divorced, which I think is funny. Like, it's for marital status, but I don't believe it references anywhere in the books. The only time it ever comes close to referencing a marital status is in one of the live action episodes where the lady... where he has to like the Tick gets a he needs to get a license, and he's put on the basically on a milk carton, and someone comes and claims him as her ex-husband.
Yes.
And for those who are interested, his favorite line from a Fred McMurray film is "Sure as 10 dimes buys you a dollar," from the movie Double Indemnity. So all that information there in Circus of the Mighty. That's the first episode. So as we go through these episodes, we'll talk more about the cast, and hopefully we'll get some of the cast members on the show. And in our next episode, we hope to have our third host Steve on. If not, Steve, we're moving on without you.
We're waiting for you, Steve. Yeah.
So We may have guest appearances on from other people who are also fans of the show that we know of.
The next episode brings in one of the big baddies in Chairface.
Chairface. He tries to write his name on the moon. And yes. that's a gag that lasts throughout the entire series based on this next episode. That whole Chairface writes his name on the moon lasts through the end of the series. Yes. So it's
was one of the best running gags.
Yeah. So we'll get into that more next episode. So thank you guys for tuning into this first episode. Hopefully we didn't bore you. hopefully you'll come back and listen to more. We will have a Facebook page. We haven't set it up yet. So hopefully you'll be able to come on and communicate with us there. I know with podcasts, sometimes it sometimes takes a while for people to hear this. So it may be a year down the road, but the Facebook page will always be there.
Well, thankfully with Neozest, we have plenty of other shows to help promote this one. Yeah. And I think maybe we should promote those shows a little
bit. Yeah. So if you're tuning into this because you're a Tick fan, but you also like other pop culture podcasts, Neozaz has a huge library of shows. We mostly they're shows with potty mouths, so we have very adult shows for things like Star Wars in character.
Indiana Jones
in character, the Gradys, which they do roundtable discussions to see if favorite movies from the 80s still hold up.
And they usually don't. I'll be honest with you, they usually don't.
If you ever go,
I'm sorry, to the movies, I got stuck on the Flash episodes.
So. Oh. If you ever go to the movies, I co-host a show called Pass the Popcorn. So if you see a movie and you want to hear what two other idiots think about it, you check out Pass the Popcorn. You can generally find any movie that has been released in the theaters over the past year and a half, because myself and Chris see everything that comes out just about.
Yeah, pretty much. You've got Muppets in character fans of old Muppets stuff and the brand new series.
If you're fans of the Trailer Park Boys, there's a whole series dedicated to that where they talk about each of the episodes and they have the cast and crew on that. That show quite a bit. That's a very popular show for the Neozaz Network. What else is on there?
They have Best of Five, where they pick a topic each week and they discuss their top five favorite of that. Some topics include Arnold Schwarzenegger movies, alcoholic beverages. I believe they did one about Disney Park rides.
Disney Park, yep. And what was one? And if you're a fan of the Phillies, there's also Phillies Full Count. So where Dave and his son are taking the Phillies and going in order from 0 to 99 and talking about the best Phillies player ever to wear that particular number. So, and that's a great show. That's one of my favorite shows. I like listening to that one quite a bit. So you have a plethora to choose from. Hopefully you'll, if you're coming here for the first time, hopefully you'll go and take a listen to some of those shows, and stick with us. So until next time, I'm Tim and
I'm Derek
and we're out of here. I don't know how to end the show. This is the first one. Spoon!
I am mighty!